Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, wanting to be James Bond, Dave Popowich. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Not James Bond, but still good.
Not even close. You tried your James Bond impression before we started the show. That's why I called him James Bond. Not even close.
Well, I'll keep trying. That's a lifelong. Yeah, retirement's a journey, not a destination, buddy. And I'm on a journey to become James Bond before I die.
Interesting. Step one would be what?
Well, get cool. That's a lot of work.
Get cool.
Well, yeah. I ask my daughters all the time, is your dad cool?
No. Let's start with proper English is what James Bond started with. And then let's lead to get cool.
Get cool. I thought that'd be a good place, yeah. I got along with it. Anyways, good thing the journey's a long one.
He speaks the Queen's English. You're not even close, buddy. Oh, wow.
Okay, so aside from cool, what were cool in the markets, or the markets were cool this week, the equity markets
month
were
to date. Cool. Month yeah. to date. It's been a typical August, September is volatile. So this is typical. We are seeing sensitivity in the markets. If you look at some of the high growth companies have been, I'd say, slapped around in the markets.
Yep.
But there hasn't been too much that's been spared.
No, it's exactly right.
It's not like they're hiding somewhere in the equity
right.
market.
Right.
They're not necessarily hiding in the bond market
right.
either.
That's right. Yeah, we had fears reignite. Now, you know, this year has been an interesting year, but it's probably been better than what most people expect. And we're going to talk about that. In fact, we've got a terrific guest to help us understand a little bit about this year, where we're going and what his expectations are. And that's our chief economist at CIBC, Avery Shenfeld. So you want to stick around for that. But this month, you know, we've got fears spiking again. How far do central banks go from here in raising rates? And probably the discussion starts switching to how long are they going to keep rates higher? That sparked some concern in markets this week.
Why? Why did the markets have concern about the FOMC's minutes that they were discussing that possibly higher for longer?
Right.
Why is that a big concern today?
Well, so the concern, so the FOMC has been pretty clear about this. They haven't changed their language. I don't think maybe you read it differently. I don't think the minutes to the last meeting really expressed any additional hawkishness about how far they're going to go or how long they're going to do it. I think the market, that combined with strong economic data. Now, that should be good news, but the U.S. economy has been strong. Maybe it's too strong. Okay, that's part of the problem. We get some weakness in China. Oh, okay, so strength in the U.S., weakness in China. All of these things, I think, were just a catalyst to spark a sell.
But it wasn't any different than July.
I get it.
Okay, so you know how I see this? Have you ever gone to a beach and you're watching people go walk along the beach and there's always a few people who are not paying attention to the waves coming in?
Yeah.
And then they get hit by the wave and they look all surprised, like, right. Oh my God, I'm at the ocean.
Right.
I can hear everything. I see other people moving away from the waves coming at them, but it's not going to hit me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden hits you and you're like, wow, I can't believe this happened.
Right.
That's August.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the economy is not going to continue to grow at the rate I was hoping. I can't believe that the central bankers are not going to cut rates this year when they said they're not going to cut rates this year. I can't believe right. that China's slowing down when we've had indication for the last 3 months that China's slowing down. I can't believe that real estate manufacturing and commercial growth isn't growing when we've had the same data. The wave has come one, two, three, and then all of a sudden you get hit by a wave and you're like, maybe I should do something about this.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that's going to confuse the markets a little bit, and I think it has, is the reacceleration, quotes, air quotes there, of inflation. So we saw Canadian inflation go from 2.8 to 3.3% year over year. Whoa, hang on. Inflation's back.
Who's talking about that mainly? Huh?
Yeah.
You know,
the press, right? It makes the headlines.
It's coming out of the media who then, and if you look at, here's the setup. Some media outlets are saying this. inflation's back up, and then they'll show a extreme case story on the article.
Right.
You know, Sarah and Billy can't make their ends meet because inflation has gone back up. So they're taking the headline, they're taking the story and saying this story is everybody's story across the country.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right. And we're going to get some, we'll ask our guest in the next couple of segments we're going to do about this, because I think we should get some input. It's not what the story is, not the headline story, but it will scare markets.
It will scare markets. It will scare people. When their behavior in what they do. Here's what I look at. When I look at the delivery service companies, mm-hmm. UPS, FedEx, so on, there's a shift. The volume is not as high as it was. Well, that means goods are not being sold. You don't package a service in UPS and send it.
Right.
Okay, so goods are going down. When you look at companies like Loblaws, they came out in their financials and they said in their quarterly call, customers are buying down. Mm-hmm. They're not buying the expensive stuff. Walmart just said the same thing. Their core essential items are being purchased. Non-essential, not so much.
Right. There's a pause there, right?
So there is a shift in behavior. Mm-hmm. Okay. So who's at risk? The entire economy?
Right. No.
It is the ones that they're moving away from is at risk, not moving towards. Money is moving towards essential versus non-essential.
Right.
On the flip side, if you look at some of the major car companies, even the luxury brand car companies, sales are doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. So where is this whole, my God, this is going to cause a big problem. Let's sell things off. So crazy. I think this is an overshooting. This is that wave as you're walking down the ocean, you get hit. And I think people have to just take a step back and go, let's put some logical points in play before we think the valuation of companies should be down 20% or up 20% from this point. That the economy is going to go into a deep recession because mm-hmm. that's what the conversation is now happening.
So let me throw another thing in there for you, and we can bat this around. I think it's just natural volatility. So if the market needs an excuse to sell, so it doesn't go up forever. We had months of straight up, and then there's some profit taking. There's some pressure release.
Right.
Let's not just discount the fact that things just don't go in linear one way all the time. It's choppy.
Right now, whenever we see you calling it natural volatility, you sound like a Calgarian who says, oh, this is just a Chinook.
Okay, right? Fair enough.
Okay. And you know what? Many times, it's just a Chinook.
Right.
But there are times where it's not a Chinook, it's a forest fire.
Right.
And that's why we've got a problem. And what people react, can you imagine if the average Calgarian ran around the city saying, wildfire, wildfire, right. when it was a natural Chinook.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. So I do agree with you, this is volatility, not everything goes straight up or linear. I think the reaction that people are having is as if it's not a natural piece of volatility.
Yeah, and that's not to say, listen, there is uncertainty, I get it, uncertainty creates volatility. But volatility is, I'm going to use the word systemic. It is part of investing in risk assets.
You have to.
That's right.
I'm going to really jump in here. I know we have a limited amount of time.
We're running out of time. Here's
what's going to. I think the shift might happen. You're going to hear people say, "Well, why don't I just buy GICs?
Right?
Why don't I just buy those 5% GICs and avoid all this volatility?
Yeah.
And you can. The question I ask when anybody brings it up to me is, "What's the risk of owning a GIC?
Right.
And people look at me as if risk is only loss of capital.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
And so what's that list really quickly? Because people are going to say, this volatility, I may not have the stomach for it. I'm going to then bow out and go to the fixed income world, i.e. GICs,
right.
and buy a 5% okay. GIC for 1, 2, 3 years, 5 years. Yep. It doesn't matter.
Listen, and you got to get proper advice on this because GICs fit into portfolios for certain circumstances as correct. Do anything else.
Thank you.
78% of the time, the bond market outperforms the cash market and the GIC market. There's things like reinvestment risk. What is the rate at the time that I have to go reinvest? Inflation spikes up and you're locked in. All of these things are risks. You need to be conscious of that.
And we'll talk about that on our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, September 26th at the Hamptons Golf Club. You need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Join us after the break for Avery Shenfelt and the real data around the economy. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.